Hello, Baker McKenzie welcomes you to Connect on Tech, a global podcast series covering legal developments on data, technology, privacy, and security that impact your business. Here's your host, Brian Hengisbaugh, Global Chair of Privacy and Security.
Welcome back to Connect on Tech. I'm Brian Hengisbaugh, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by our new partner in New York, Cyrus Vance, who is our Global Head of Cybersecurity. Cyrus, welcome to the program.
Brian, thank you for inviting me, and it's great to be here at Baker.
Wonderful. Why don't we just kick off by you explaining a little bit to our listeners about your background and the great experience you had as Manhattan DA, maybe with a particular focus on the cybersecurity issues that were a big focus for you there.
Brian, before joining Baker, I was the district attorney for Manhattan, an elected position, for the past 12 years. And I left that position at the end of 2021. One of the most interesting and important aspects of that job over the last decade was transforming the prosecutor's office from a 20th century prosecutor's office to a 21st century prosecutor's office, with a particular focus on the development of in the threat landscape around cyber and in the digital space. The County of Manhattan, the center of finance for the country, and in some respects, clearly one of the centers for the globe, is particularly at risk from cyber attacks, not only on our what we would think of on our population, scams, and all the assorted vulnerabilities that go along with cyberspace, but also and particularly vulnerability of our critical infrastructure. The city of New York, like most cities, is comprised of key private sector partners, which make up our critical infrastructure. If you think about Con Edison for power, you think about our banks and finance, our telephone and companies and in telecommunications and the like. And I think increasingly we began to understand that not only did we need to protect New York from what I would say are the more traditional crimes related to cyber activity, but as we are witnessing very much in real time around the globe today, the importance of protecting New York City's and indeed America's infrastructure from cyber attacks from outside state actor threats, as well as individual criminal activity.
Absolutely, and I know that's I think spot on that you identify that as a critical issue. From your observations in that important role, really on the enforcement side, what are some things, or there's probably a lot of things, but what are a few key things that you think companies could or should be doing to protect themselves in this environment?
I think that America has woken up, or corporate America is in the process of waking up to the realization that they are, in fact, at threat, not just from ransomware attack from typical criminals, but also from attacks on their businesses if they become, if they are part of critical infrastructure. So number one, I think businesses need to ask themselves, I think the questions that every company needs to ask themselves in this fraught cyber landscape is how well prepared are they for a cyber attack? And that's a question that has many layers and a lot of depth and complexity now. Not only do you have to understand how you are protecting your assets across what's called the threat landscape, whether your backups are in place so that in the event that you are the subject of a ransomware attack, you can access data, notwithstanding the fact that some of your systems have been locked up. So there's a lot of preparation that companies need to go through in order to be, I think, engaged in best practices, as well as how they are going to manage a cyber attack in the middle of a cyber attack, which is how you've spent a lot of your last several years getting companies through the very difficult process of how do we respond to an attack. And then to think down the road, the consequences of an attack as it pertains to reporting to state and federal governments, the nature of the attack, if it's required by statute, and to, as you are unwinding an attack, also be mindful that there's litigation risk that follows any one of these attacks from shareholder suits and the like. And so what, as the attack is navigated, lawyers with the company have to also be keeping their eye on legal risk downstream. Number one. Number two, the realization by companies that security today is a collective exercise, and that companies need to come together in sharing threat intelligence to better protect themselves, and in doing so, better protect other companies in the critical structure ecosystem of whatever physical environment that you're living in.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we're recording this, President Biden has just signed into law the Strengthening American Cybersecurity Act, which would have what I would call some light touch reporting, but reporting duties to the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency for critical infrastructure within, 72 hours of receiving a ransom attack. And then reporting if you've actually made a payment within 24 hours. So that would certainly be part, that type of reporting would go right along the lines of what you're talking about in terms of it's a collective exercise in order for all of us to be sharing information as much as possible real time so that everybody can strengthen the protections that they have in place and really be ready for lots of different actors of lots of different sophistication, including state actors, which are highly sophisticated. And I guess the one question I would have for you on that score is, have you seen examples where organizations have been better or less prepared for incidents based on how much sharing and engagement they've had with public resources?
Yes, I have. The interest in corporations to share information with the federal government and with each other is, I think, a relatively recent phenomenon. And the consequences of not being part of a network sharing that information are affecting corporations daily. A couple of weeks ago, there was a ransomware attack, Lockbit 2.0, on a entertainment-related large organization in California. The information about the nature of that attack had previously been reported here in New York City to members of our cybercritical infrastructure task force, our public and private sector partners, about 24 hours earlier before the California company was attacked. California company didn't get the message, whether it was not signed up or paying attention to warnings from CISA or other security companies outlining attacks in real time that companies have to be managing and defending against. But there's an example of a company that did not get the message, but presumably because it had not decided that it wanted to be in an ecosystem where it was exchanging this kind of intelligence. And the consequence for that was they suffer the impact of a ransomware attack that threatens their business and reputation, and companies in New York who were part of a collective exercise in defending against cyber attacks against New York had received that information, were able to protect themselves.
No, that's perfect. And maybe one last question for now, and then we'll leave it here for today, but then much more to come down the road. Would you have any recommendations for companies when they're in a close case where payment of a ransom could help them? It would accelerate their recovery efforts. It would be a little bit easier for them. But then again, they could also get by because they do have backups and they're working on restoring, et cetera, without making a ransom payment. Would there be any larger public policy reasons why you might encourage them not to make a payment?
I think there are larger public policy reasons and practical reasons. The larger public policy reasons are that paying ransom is does not eliminate you from further risk, and that it simply funds terrorists and others to attack you again and attack others. 80% of the companies that pay ransom, it is reported, end up getting attacked again. So there's a I think, is a strong practical and public policy reason not to pay ransom. And I think we would caution companies not to decide immediately that ransom is something that should be paid. I think in a case that you were working on recently, Brian, it took some time before the company understood that it actually had the data it needed to restore its system in place, but not immediately clear whether or not that information had been impacted by the ransomware attack or not. So over time, you discovered that that information was accessible. That eliminated the need to pay ransom, but ransom could have been paid earlier on, but unnecessarily. So those are two basic reasons why I think companies should be hesitant to pay ransom.
Okay, perfect. We will leave it there. Cyrus Vance, Global Chair of Cybersecurity for Baker McKenzie, great to have you with us. Look forward to having you again.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for our next podcast when we connect on tech. For more information on data and technology, subscribe to our blog at connectontech.com or visit our website at bakermckenzie.com.